You're listening to KZSU 90.1 FM, Stanford Student Radio. It's the top of the hour. It is 5 p.m., and that means it's time for an episode of The Second Arrangement. I'm your host, Holden Aureus. Good to be back on this side of the airwaves. I've been peppering the broadcast on the weekends with my baseball and softball broadcasts with the sports department, but I have not been in the station proper for a few weeks, so it's good to be back in here, gonna get to play some music and talk about some other stuff and air a very special interview. This episode we will be featuring an interview I recorded with Simone Berkowitz, who is the development director at Community Services Agency. We had a great conversation a couple of weeks ago to talk about one of CSA's upcoming events called Empty Bowls. And so we'll talk about that in good time after we play a song or two. And so I figured for this set list, it would be prudent, since the event is called Empty Bowls, to play a handful of songs I heard while I was at a different kind of bowl. That is the Hollywood Bowl. So this first song up is from a band you should probably know by now. It's Steely Dan. The song is Night by Night. It's from their third album, Pretzel Logic, released in 1974, and it was one of the songs on their set list when they played the Hollywood Bowl in 2016. This was the first time I saw Steely Dan. This was also the last time I saw Steely Dan, because frontman Walter Becker passed away in 2017, so a year after that Hollywood Bowl concert. But I got to see them live, and I will remember that for a very, very long time. So, thanks for tuning in to The Second Arrangement. Without further ado, Night by Night by Steely Dan. Thanks for tuning in.
I could come.
That's a dynamite track, as always, Night by Night by Steely Dan from Pretzel Logic, released in 74. Of particular note on that track are the talents on guitar of Skunk Baxter, and laying down the rhythm section is none other than an 18-year-old Jeff Porcaro. More on him in a bit. You'll know him well as the lead drummer for Toto. And so we'll actually have some more Toto later in the episode. But enough about the Dan. We talk about them every time we're here at KZSU. So let's get to another topic, perhaps the main topic of this episode, which is Community Services Agency, one of the safety nets in Mountain View. They provide a great deal of assistive services to the unhoused, to those who are food insecure. It's been a really great organization to volunteer at, and I had the pleasure of speaking with one of their directors, specifically Simone Berkowitz, the development director, to talk about one of their upcoming events slash fundraisers. And so the event is called Empty Bowls. It will be taking place on, I believe, April 27th, that's a Sunday, from 2 to 4 p.m. in Rengsdorf Park in Mountain View. And so I'd explain a little more live on air about what it is, but I have a segment of an interview that will do just that. So I'll play this first segment of my interview with Simone Berkowitz, Development Director at CSA, and we'll be back with some more music right after that. Thank you for tuning in to The Second Arrangement. All right. I am joined today by Simone Berkowitz, the Development Director at CSA. Simone, thank you so much for joining me on The Second Arrangement.
Thanks for having me, Holden.
Yeah. So we're here to discuss a very special event that CSA puts out every year, their Empty Bowls fundraiser. And so, Simone, I was hoping we could talk a little bit about the overall history of the event for our listeners who haven't heard of this before.
Sure. So Empty Bowls is a fundraiser that was started in 1990 or 1991 in Michigan, where local potters got together with restaurants and threw a soup supper for a local homeless services organization. So they sold the tickets and the proceeds went to benefit that organization. And at Community Services Agency, we've been doing an event like that for decades now, with initially a soup supper at a local church. Well, coming out of COVID, we thought, let's do something outdoors, make it safer, and target a younger audience, target perhaps some people with children in the community. And instead of soup, we pivoted to ice cream. So we now have Empty Bowls Sundays on a Sunday. It's the last Sunday in April every year. And we have Baskin-Robbins donate the ice cream. And we still have these beautiful handcrafted bowls donated by the Orchard Valley Ceramic Arts Guild. So if you come on Sunday, April 27th, 2 to 4 p.m. at Rengsdorf Park, you get a beautiful bowl and ice cream, and your ticket price will go to benefit homeless services right here locally in your community.
That sounds fantastic. So you've mentioned how this iteration of the event was something that sort of spun up after the pandemic. How have you noticed the community engaging with this new version of Empty Bowls?
People really enjoy the event. They love being outdoors at a park. There's playgrounds nearby so people can let their kids run around. We've had special activities for children ranging from scavenger hunts to art projects. It's really, really family friendly. And the weather has been pretty good so far. The last couple of years we've been doing this, so we hope for good weather again. But it's just a nice chance to learn a little bit about the homeless services and other services that CSA offers in a fun, relaxed, family-friendly setting.
Definitely. Fingers crossed for the weather. I wanted to ask you, since you have a very data-focused background, how do you bring that approach to working with nonprofits, specifically CSA?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. Yes, I have an economics degree from MIT and a master's in public policy from UC Berkeley, and I was working in the private sector doing market research and consulting, and pivoted to the nonprofit sector about 8 years ago, and I find that these skills are really valuable in the nonprofit sector. And just as an example, something that's really important to the CSA and to nonprofits are planned gifts, specifically legacy gifts, so people leaving bequests in their will. And that's something that I noticed from my data analysis background, that this is a source of really large, impactful revenue for nonprofit organizations. And since I took this position as development director, I've been strengthening our legacy circle to make sure that the organization is secure for generations to come.
All right, that concludes the first interview segment, or the first segment of the interview with Simone Berkowitz, again, the development director at Community Services Agency in Mountain View. We'll be airing the next segment of that a little bit later in the episode, because this is about promoting an upcoming event of theirs, that is Empty Bowls, which again will be on April 27th, that's a Sunday, in Rangsdorf Park in Mountain View. All right, so the theme is bowls. We're talking about empty bowls for that event, and then we're going to continue with our set list of songs that I got to hear when I was at the Hollywood Bowl. And so the set list is also in chronological order. The first song, Night by Night, by Steely Dan, I heard when I saw them at the Bowl in 2016, and now we're going to jump forward a few more years to 2019. That was between my junior and senior years of high school, and so during that summer, I went with my parents and one of my friends from middle school and his parents to see Cyndi Lauper. That was a very, very fun show. And I remember it particularly well because at one point she was dancing and singing on the stage and then got stung by a bee on her foot. And she said a host of things that I cannot repeat on air lest the FCC come after me. But everyone in the bowl got a pretty good laugh out of that. And she sort of vamped for a little, sat down, pulled the stinger out of her foot. Kept talking to the crowd the whole time. That was the most memorable part of the show, but it was a good show all around musically. And so one of my favorite tracks of hers, and of course one of her more famous songs, is True Colors. So that's the next song on the list here. It's True Colors by Cyndi Lauper. Thank you for tuning in to The Second Arrangement. I'm Holden Aureus, one of the hosts on KZSU 90.1 FM.
You with the sad heart, don't be discouraged, don't worry, realize it's hard to take courage in a world full of people. Can lose sight of it all in the dark. There's no inside you, make you feel so small. But I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors. That's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show your true colors. True colors. Thank you. This world makes you crazy. You take in all you can, then you call me up, because you know I'll be there, and I'll see your truth.
That's True Colors by Cyndi Lauper. Heard her perform that live at the Hollywood Bowl in 2019. It's time for a PSA now. Arts Earth is an arts nonprofit organization based in the San Francisco Bay Area. It promotes the arts worldwide, covering dance, film, literature, music, theater, visual arts, and multimedia. Arts Earth provides a free self-serve feature where you can directly submit your arts engagements, post events wherever you are on Earth, or become an arts partner. The website also features original articles and reviews covering creative works and live events worldwide by Arts Earth contributors and staff. For more information, please visit artsearth.org. All right. Send the PSA card back towards the box there, and we're going to keep chatting with you guys. I'm, again, Holden Aureus, the host of The Second Arrangement that airs at 5 p.m. on Wednesdays. Next week, I think it's the spring quarter schedule. That'll kick in, is what I've been told through emails. So I'm hoping to stay at 5 p.m. on Wednesdays. But if that ends up not being the case, you'll be able to find my show somewhere else on the schedule by going to kzsu.stanford.edu. Or, presumably, if I've told you to listen in, I will just tell you when the new time is, and then you can go find me there. Very easy arrangement. All right. It's been, holy moly, it's been 3 weeks since I was last in here. That's crazy. 3 weeks. Last show was March 19, Clayton Kershaw's birthday. We played a whole host of songs from that week in 1988, last time we were up here. And since that time, the Dodger left-hander has not returned to the mound yet, but the baseball season, the 2025 MLB season, has gotten underway. And a whole bunch of storylines we could talk about, way too many to cover from the first 3 weeks in just another 40 minutes of airtime here, but one of the perhaps most relevant ones, and perhaps one of the more favorably received ones for longtime residents of the Bay Area, is the dogfight that's going on in the National League West to start the season. This has become a bit of a theme for the San Francisco Giants, or at least if I had a nickel for every time it's happened, I would have two nickels, which is not a lot, but it's weird that it's happened twice. So, go back to 2020, 5 years ago. Dodgers won the World Series in the COVID-shortened season. And then in the following season, 2021, the Giants came out of nowhere and took the division title, broke up the Dodgers' streak of 8 in a row, had their one of their best seasons of all time. I can't recall if it's their best regular season record ever, but that was 4 years ago. The Giants popped in during a Dodgers title defense season to mess things up. And so far, in this young season, the same thing might be taking shape. The teams are only anywhere between 12 to 14 games into the season right now, but the three of the best records in all of Major League Baseball, actually, yeah, the three best records in Major League Baseball all belong in the National League West. Leading the division right now, it's the San Diego Padres at 10-3. Then half a game behind them, knotted for second, are both the Giants at 9-3 and the Dodgers at 10-4. Those three teams are pacing the field right now, with the Dodgers having more wins than any other team in Major League Baseball outside of their division, and yet they are tied for second. So we'll see which team of those three blinks first in this young season, but definitely something to watch out for. And for those Bay Area residents who are tuning in over the airwaves, perhaps something to be quite hopeful about, because the Giants for the past several years have had fairly mediocre seasons, but in 2021 they had a shockingly good season, and hopes are high for the orange and black right now in this season. I say orange and black, but they have a bit of purple now. They debuted their new City Connect uniforms either just yesterday or the day before. My friend from undergrad, Sydney, is still weighing whether she likes them or not. It seems that City Connect uniforms take a while to grow on people, but we'll see what she thinks as the season progresses. I presume if they keep winning while wearing them, she won't have that much to complain about. Okay, back to our set list here. Again, songs from the Hollywood Bowl to pair with my interview about the upcoming Empty Bowls event. These next few songs, or the rest of the set list really, is all from last year when I went to the Hollywood Bowl a fair amount of times. It was my first summer back in LA proper in a while, and so I took advantage, went to the Hollywood Bowl four times that summer. And so this was the first time I went that summer. What did I go for? It was a night dedicated specifically to, let's see, I have this. Yeah, it's dedicated to Gershwin, George Gershwin. Mix between jazz and classical, very, very renowned composer at the turn of the 20th century. And so one of the songs that was played slash sung slash tap danced when I went to see Gershwin performed at the Hollywood Bowl was a song called Let's Call the Whole Thing Off. One of the more famous renditions was sung as a duet by Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong. So, from Gershwin Night last year at the Hollywood Bowl, this is Let's Call the Whole Thing Off. Thank you for tuning in to The Second Arrangement on KZSU 90.1 FM.
Things have come to a pretty pass. Our romance is growing flat. For you like this and the other, while I go for this and that. Goodness knows what the end will be. Oh, I don't know where I'm at. It looks as if we two will never be one. Something must be done.
You say either, I say either. You say neither, and I say neither. Either, either, neither, neither. Let's call the whole thing off. Yes, you like potato, and I like potato. You like tomato, and I like tomato. Potato, potato, tomato, tomato. Let's call the whole thing off. But oh, if we call the whole thing off, then we must part. And oh, if we ever part, then that might break my heart. So if you like pajamas, I like pajamas. I'll wear pajamas, give up pajamas. For we know we need each other, so we better call it off, off. Oh, let's call the whole thing off, yeah.
You say
like vanilla and I like vanilla. You sarsaparilla and I sarsaparilla. Vanilla, vanilla, or chocolate strawberry. Let's call the whole thing off. But oh, if we call the whole thing off, then we must part.
Tomato.
And you like tomato.
Potato.
Potato.
Tomato.
Tomato.
Let's call the whole thing off.
But oh, if we call the whole thing off, then we must part. And oh, if we ever part, then that might break my heart.
Oh, so if you like pajamas.
Like pajamas.
I wear pajamas.
You got pajamas.
But we
know we need each other, so we better call the calling of home. Let's call the whole thing off.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Let's call the whole thing off. That's performed in that instance by Ella Fitzgerald, Louis Armstrong, but it was performed by, understandably, not them when I went to see Gershwin Night at the Hollywood Bowl last summer. We're approaching the bottom of the hour here, and it's a good time as any to go back to our series of interview segments with Simone Berkowitz, the development director at CSA in Mountain View, who I had the pleasure of speaking with a couple of weeks ago to talk about their upcoming event, Empty Bowls. This is the second segment of three, so I'm going to give this a play for you guys right now, and then we'll be back to chat a little more. Thank you for tuning in to The Second Arrangement. I wanted to actually ask a little bit more about your interdisciplinary tendencies. I've read that you are a published author.
Yes, I have a hobby where I write novels. So that's something I do on the side. And my first novel is about a pandemic, but I wrote it before COVID. And in my pandemic, only men are affected and are killed or weakened. So women take over the world. So that's my version of the pandemic. Some people may like it a little bit better than the pandemic we actually had.
How far before the pandemic did you write that? That's crazy.
I started writing it in 2019. So actually, I finished it during the pandemic, but I had the idea before, and I had written maybe half of it before COVID hit.
That's strangely prescient. Do you think how you thought about making that novel changed once the pandemic hit?
I definitely had more details of how things were actually functioning once the pandemic hit, things like masks and things like that. But the worst part was that I had to do research for the book, and I was watching movies about pandemics and reading other books about pandemics during COVID, and it was so much pandemic information, it was a little overwhelming. Bringing it back to CSA, at the time, I was also working front lines at a safety net organization which was really impacted by COVID. We had lines of people lining up for services for the first time, increases in our food pantry recipients, and people wanting rental assistance, and it was all hands on deck. So I was out in front of the food pantry signing up clients. I speak Spanish, so I was able to interact with a lot of our Spanish-speaking clients. And then on top of that, I also have school-aged children. So I was doing remote schooling at home when I wasn't at work. So I had like the triple, quadruple pandemic.
That's staggering. My mom, actually, she works in education, and so having seen her deal with all of that during the pandemic, it was a sight to behold. It's an interesting point you touched on there about the demand for services from CSA swelling during the pandemic. How would you say you and your colleagues were able to rise to the occasion during that time? And how do the effects of that pandemic look on CSA, a few years out now?
Initially, when the pandemic hit, we were waiting for guidance from Santa Clara Public Health Department, and whatever they said, we had to follow because we have a food pantry. So if they said 3 feet apart, it was 3 feet. If they said 6 feet, it was 6 feet. So in the beginning, I don't know if you remember, but the guidance was constantly changing, and we had to meet on a daily basis to reconfigure where the food pantry was going to be, how the people were going to come in and out. We went from a model where people were coming in the building to shop the food pantry to serving people out in the parking lot. Our number one priority was keeping clients and staff safe. So it was a constantly evolving situation that we had to stay on top of. And of course, initially we thought it was going to be something quick, but then it became much longer. So we had to bring on additional temporary staff for things like rental cases. There were a lot of people very concerned about falling behind on their rent, despite the eviction moratoriums, because they knew that once the moratoriums stopped, they would have to catch up. Otherwise, they would be evicted and they didn't want to fall so far behind. Plus, the landlords had to get their payments. A lot of them are maybe small landlords, and they couldn't afford to be without those payments as well. So we hired temporary rental case managers to process all of that funding. We had about $6 million in rental assistance that was going out the door, a lot of it from the city of Mountain View, some of it that we had fundraised. And every department of CSA was impacted because not only were we doing the changing the food pantry, increasing rental cases, we also had a lot more donations coming in. So our fundraising department was impacted and had to manage all the gifts coming in, which of course is a good thing, but still involves more work. So the whole agency was really kicked up into a higher gear of activity for quite a few years. And now the demand has decreased somewhat, but we're still not back to pre-COVID levels in terms of the people coming in for services. People are still feeling these impacts economically.
All right, that's the second segment of three for my interview with Simone Berkowitz of CSA. We'll play the third segment closer to the end of the hour, and by that, the end of the episode. So we'll have a little bit more time to fill until then. We'll go back to our set list now. Again, these interview segments are about the upcoming Empty Bowls event. And the set list for this episode of The Second Arrangement is songs that I heard performed live at the Hollywood Bowl. So, back to the summer of 2024, go back just under 12 months ago. I first went to the bowl that summer for Gershwin Night, where one of the songs I heard was Let's Call the Whole Thing Off. We played that just before the interview segment. And now we'll go to my next night at the Bowl that summer, where I got to see Sarah Bareilles perform live. Sarah is a UCLA alum, so hometown gal who got to perform at the Bowl. Very cool hearing her stuff arranged to be performed with the Hollywood Bowl Orchestra. And one of my favorite songs of hers, or my favorite song of hers, and one of my favorite songs of all time is Love Song by, again, Sarah Bareilles. It was really nifty hearing how the arrangement added in strings and all of the other stuff in the orchestra, but specifically the strings. Hearing the arrangement for that in the bowl was truly transcendent. This is the radio edit, so fewer strings for you, sadly, but the original song is still quite good. Love Song, Sarah Bareilles on KZSU 90.1 FM.
Thank you.
It's interesting listening to the radio edits of songs as opposed to what gets released on the album, because that radio edit omits my favorite section of the song entirely, which is the bridge. And I'd be interested to know what the reasons are or what goes on behind the scenes when studio heads choose what to save and what to cut for the radio version of a song, besides, of course, the profanities, if there are any, which there aren't in this case. But what led them to cut the bridge? I need to know. I need answers. If you have those answers, it would be fantastic if you could give me a call in the studio right now. The request line, or the text line, is 855-723-9010. So if you have any theories or answers about what the heck the difference is and how the differences between album version and radio version come to be, please let me know. Again, the request line, which you can call in at or text at, is 855-723-9010. All righty. 20 minutes left in this episode of The Second Arrangement. We'll play another couple songs or two before we get to the end of this. I think so. It's time to play a few songs in a row. All right, So the next two songs, I'll introduce the second one after we play the first one. The next two songs are from the same night at the Hollywood Bowl. One is the opener and one is the main act. And truth be told, I might actually enjoy the opener more than the main act, at least for this show specifically. It was the end of August, or it was September 1st, actually, so a couple of days before I started my, before I came up here to start working. And I went to see Christopher Cross as the opener, and we'll, actually, no, we've talked about Poor Caro already. We can say who the main act is. Christopher Cross opened, and Toto was the main act. And so Christopher Cross, because of how important he is to the yacht rock genre, big fan of him. Big fan of his self-titled debut album, which picked up a bunch of Grammys in his debut year. He won Best New Artist and I believe Album of the Year and a couple of other things, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, one of the great songs from that album, again, most of, I think all of the songs of that album are fantastic, but one I particularly like that's a little bit underrated is The Light Is On. So this is The Light Is On by Christopher Cross. I saw him as the opening act for Toto at the Hollywood Bowl last September. Thank you for tuning in. Have a listen. to Steely Dan Regulars on that specific track by Christopher Cross. Again, that's The Light Is On from his self-titled debut album that was released in late 79, so basically 1980. The two regulars, one on percussion, that's Victor Feldman, a very acclaimed session percussionist, and the other provides the guitar solo. It's none other than Larry Carlton, who played guitar with the Dan in their later albums, especially was the guitar solo for Kid Charlemagne, Don't Take Me Alive, had some pretty heavy work on the Royal Scam, and then proceeded to continue with the band and help out with a couple of other musicians. And so I've always liked his solo on The Light Is On. That's the seventh track on the album, and so it's sandwiched right between the two most famous tracks of that record. The sixth track, the side two opener, is Ride Like the Wind. And so it's Ride Like the Wind, then The Light Is On, and then right after that, it's Sailing. So that is a strong contender for the best three-track run of any artist that I know of. The Light Is On, solid, very underrated. Okie doke. Now we'll go to the main act. This was Toto. And so we talked about Jeff Porcaro, who drummed on Night by Night when he was just 18 years old. And so fast forward a few years later to when he met up with some of the people who had found Toto to play session musician, to play on the recording of Silk Degrees by Boz Scaggs. They ended up forming their own band and released a few albums. Their second album included this song called 99. So, this is 99 by Toto. I heard them play that at the Hollywood Bowl the same night as I heard Christopher Cross.
I'm not afraid to
right? That's 99 by Toto. Without further ado, because we're getting pretty close to the top of the hour, here's the final segment of my interview with Simone Berkowitz at CSA. Thanks for tuning in.
Things maybe to talk about before we wrap up this segment, especially since we're broadcasting on KZSU, Stanford's student radio station. There's a whole host of audience here on the younger side who might want to help and make a difference, but aren't sure how to. So would you have any advice for perhaps our younger listeners here who would want to get involved?
Yeah, absolutely. So I mentioned that CSA has a food pantry. We operate 3 days a week on site and 1 day a week as a mobile pantry. And there are so many opportunities to volunteer, specifically in the food pantry. So sorting produce or putting food on shelves, going to do grocery pickups, which I hear that you do, Holden, on the weekend. So thank you for helping out with that. And there's also a number of other volunteer opportunities. For example, bringing grocery bags to seniors. We also have a young professionals group where we try to make it fun and have a networking opportunity and different volunteer possibilities specifically targeted for maybe people who are working or students who want that socialization in addition to volunteering and to meet like-minded folks in the community. So there's a lot of opportunities for volunteering. We need help. We have over 500 volunteers. We can always use more. We really can't do the work we do without our volunteers. So I highly recommend going to our website and reaching out to our volunteer coordinator, Maria, and she can understand what your interests are and set you up with whatever the opportunity is that best fits.
Thank you for laying those out. For our listeners, the website for CSA is csacares.org. Can go on there and find out about their volunteer opportunities. And also, if you go to the events page, you can find some more information about Empty Bowls, which will be happening a few Sundays from now, Sunday, April 27th at Rangsdorf Park in Mountain View. It'll be from 2 to 4 p.m.
Yes, and we highly recommend purchasing tickets online in advance because the event does sell out.
All right. Simone, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Really enjoyed talking with you about all of this. And before we end the segment, I always like having my interview guests bring a song so it can be played on the show. Would you mind telling us a little about the song you chose?
Yeah, so I chose Dave Matthews Band, Where Are We Going? Dave Matthews Band was the first concert I went to back in the late 90s in Boston when I was a university student. And Where Are We Going just seems appropriate with everything happening right now, the federal funding freeze impacting our services, and it's a very uncertain time. So that was the motivation for selecting that song.
All right, Simone, once again, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Holden.
All right, that concludes my interview with Simone Berkowitz, the development director at CSA. Here's her song for this episode, and that will be concluding this timeout on the second arrangement. It's Dave Matthews Band, Where Are You Going? I'm Holden Norris. Thanks for tuning in. Hope to see you next week, live at 5, for some more of the second arrangement. Have a great evening.
Like an ocean that you can't see, but you can smell, and the sound of waves crash down. I am no Superman. I have no reasons for you. I am no hero, oh, that's for sure. But I do know one thing. Where I belong, I do know where you go is where I wanna be. Where are you going? Where do
if along the way you are growing weary, you can rest with me and tell a brighter day in your old.